mean, he uses, by the way, three verbs, shamar, for the cow, he kept, and for the nifel, nishmar, he was kept. For the puel, he uses shavar, to break, except there it's shattered. He shattered, and then he was shattered, for the pl and the puel. Hifil is causative. He caused to magnify. So he uses the verb gadal, if you're using wine grain, to break or to magnify. And then the hogdal, he was magnified, or was made great. So it's causative. It's either an active causative or a passive causative. And then finally we have hitpael. Hitpael is your reflexive stem, like he himself broke, or he magnified himself. You know, right where we're at it, why don't we go to Roman numeral 14, and I will just do the seven basic stems of the imperfect, and that way we can just sort of get an overall view and then start reading. Notice the kal or the pa'al is, could we say, yif'al, he will do. And notice again, if we're using another verb, we wouldn't use the pathak. The ayin prefers the pathak. Underneath it, we would use the hirig. It would be something like, we'd use the oval, like yishmor. That's what Weingreen would use. And then in the nifal, could we say yippa el, it will be done. Notice you have an I vowel, a hirig, and an A vowel, a comments, and you have the doubling of the P, or Phi, because the noon has assimilated. So in the, we're looking at a nifal, always has that in, and some have even called this the in stem. You had yin pa el becoming yip pa el, where the noon is assimilating, like the P is gobbling it up. Or the fee, excuse me, the fee is gobbling it up. Then in the PL, we have Yefa'el. Again, we have that Yod is showing third masculine singular prefix. We have a Shavah with a Pathag, and normally we double the middle radical. By the middle radical, I mean the middle consonant, which would be not Ayin, but it would have been if it was just a, like, let's use another one. Yeshamer, you would have like he will keep intensely. And Marty has given a beautiful breakdown using the verb shamar all the way through these seven stems. The puel is yepu'al. Notice you have a shavah and a kibbutz. Yefu'al. You have a shavah and a kibbutz type of vowel pattern. It will be done intensely. And so it's the passive again of the PL. And notice the vowel pattern is going to be a Shiva kibbutz. The hifil is yafil. Here we have an AI vowel pattern. Pathak under the yod, hirik yod between the second consonant and the final one. He will cause to do something. Notice the AI vowel pattern. And then, and number six, hofal is yofal, he will be caused to do. That's what we call a kamatz chatuf, an O-class vowel, in a closed, unaccented syllable, yofal. And so that would be, he will be caused to do. And then finally, hitpael, yitpael, he himself will do. Yitpael. Notice you have your yit prefix and then your A-class vowel. Normally you're doubling that middle radical all the way through if it's not a guttural, if it's not an aleph, an ayin, hey, or a chet. And we see that at the bottom where I have illustrated again, yedaber, and like the hitpael yit, and notice again that middle radical is doubled unless it's a guttural. And a non-guttural also has an O vowel in the cow, perfect, rather than a pothot. Now, one of the things I would recommend, and I wanted to just do that quick overview, and I know it's a lot of material, but if you could just review it, go through these seven stems, and look at what Marty put out when he put out the verb shamar, and he went through shamar, explaining the cow, shamar, the imperfect yishmor, the nifal, nishmar, and yishamer, and so forth. And I think Marty put that as one of the conjugations that you could look at. Now let's go to Psalm 1. I wanted to do this. This is sort of a lot. I know it's like trying to drink out of a fountain somewhere, but let's go to chapter 1 of the Psalms, and I believe we start, verse 3. We did the first verse, right? And we did verse 2, I believe. Let me just quote it, if you could repeat after me. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halak ba'atzat resha'im. Uvederech chataim lo amad, uvemoshav leitzim lo yashav. And that is, happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked ones, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the mockers. Then we go to verse 2, but kiim betorat Adonai chepso, but in the Torah of the Lord is his delight. Chepso, that O is a pronoun suffix, third masculine singular. So it would be simply, but in the law of the Lord is his delight. Uvetorato yege yomam v'layla. And in his Torah, he mumbles under the breath day and night. Notice that yod prefix is showing that it is an imperfect. It's a cow imperfect, third masculine singular, from Haggah. And again, that yod prefix is used for the imperfect when you're making it into a third person. So his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he mutters under the breath, is what again means by day and by night. So I think now, we're at verse 3, and if we could read it together. V'haya ka'etz shatul al palgei mayim. And he shall be as a tree transplanted by streams of water. Asher piryo yitein be'ito. Whose his fruit he customarily gives in its season. The alehu lo yibol, and its leaf never ever withers. The chol asher yaaseh yatzlicha, and all which he does results in prospering, or is caused to prosper. Now, let's look at the grammar for just a moment. V'haya ka'etz. V'haya, Joel, can you tell us, we would translate that, and he shall be as a tree. Can you tell us about the verb v'haya grammatically? What is it, brother? If Joel could unmute himself.
Good.
Go ahead, Joel.
I thought I did. Sorry. there's the vav, the conjunction there before, and then the verb is just the cal perfect, third masculine singular.
Good. And that vav with the shava turns it over and makes it futuristic. It's what we call a vav hafek or a vav conversit. Yeah. And So you find that happening a lot in Hebrew, like we have the imperfect use previously in verse 2, yeget, and then to keep it in the future and yet use a perfect, the Hebrew grammar system of the Old Testament developed a vav with a shava under it that makes it futuristic, even though haya by itself would just be your simple cal perfect, third masculine singular. So he shall be ke'ed shatul al tegei mayim. How would you translate that, Joel? Can you unmute yourself again, Joel?
Oh. All right, I think I'm unmuted now, right?
Yeah, you're unmuted.
Okay. There's a preposition, ki, which is like or as, and then etz would be tree.
What about shatul?
Is that planted, is it?
Yeah, can you tell me what stem it is? I mean, what is it?
Well, is that a participle?
Exactly. It's a cal passive.
Okay, and
it's a participle. And we didn't cover that in the grammar, but it's an a vowel in the commas, and then a shuri between the tav and the lamed. And it's called a cal passive participle, third masculine singular. So he shall be as a tree. Having been,
in the shurik, right, is the shurik's what shows us that it's the passive participle, right? That's the key to
seeing
it as a participle.
Okay. Exactly. So he shall be as a tree, having been planted, al palge mayim, and how would you translate al palge mayim, and what is it? What does it mean?
Well, is another preposition, upon or on?
Yeah, it's a preposition.
Could it be in also?
Well, probably beside or upon. And he shall be as a tree having been transplanted beside palge mayim. Now, palge mayim, you have two nouns in what here?
Okay, yeah, I don't know this word, but I'm okay, yeah. In construct, in the Seirei Yod, is what tells us that it's in construct. And that's, is that the masculine sign for the construct form, for masculine plural sign?
Exactly. Two nouns in construct. So what we have, he shall be as a tree having been planted beside streams of water. And notice two nouns in construct we talked about last week. You put of between them. Sort of like in Greek, the Greek genitive, the book of John. So he shall be, and he shall be, as a tree having been transplanted beside streams of water. And this is not just river. It's looking at fresh flowing streams, like mountain streams. And so what a beautiful picture of the godly person who's meditating on Torah. He will be like he's transplanted from an arid region to a well-watered region. And the rivers of God's word, or the fresh streams of God's word, will feed and water the soul of one who's meditating in the word. We need to be doing that yomam v'laila, day and night, in order to have that kind of transference from an arid region. This world has a lot of aridity to a watered streams that will help nourish the roots of our soul and life. So he shall be like that tree, having been transplanted by streams of water, asher piryo yetein be'ito. What's asher?
That's the who, which, or what. It's a relative pronoun.
Who, and then it's fruit, literally. Peri means fruit. And peri in construct here means it's in construct with O. And what is O?
O is the pronominal suffix.
Exactly.
It'd be like the masculine. It's the masculine one.
Third masculine singular pronominal suffix. So he shall be as a tree having been transplanted by streams of water whose its fruit. Now we have yetain, the verb. It gives in its season. Be ito. Now when we look at yetain, how would you parse that, and what kind of a verb is that, brother?
Okay, well that's a weak verb. So like a weak verb is one that loses one of its three consonants because of the form that it has, and it's a pay noon verb.
Yeah, it's what we call a pay noon verb. And for those of you that are just beginning, often in Hebrew, grammarians identify verbs by pay, ayin, and lamin. And so depending on where something occurs, if it's in the first consonant, it's called a pay something. You might even say it shows positions, like position number one is pay. Position number two is noon. Position number three is lamin. So some will even speak of this as a one noon form or a pay noon. Yeah. What has happened here? What has happened to the noon here, Joel?
I think is it in the tav?
Yeah, it assimilated in the tav by what we call progressive assimilation. In other words, it was gobbled up by the tav. The noon went into the tav, and that dot in the tav is called a dogish forte. So yintain became yittain, and that dogish is showing the doubling and the assimilation of the noon. So whose its fruit it customarily gives. This is an imperfect showing what customarily happens. So whose fruit it customarily gives, be'ito would be in its season. Notice the be' here, the be' here is the preposition in, one of the inseparable prepositions along with the lamed and the kaf. In, eight means season, and it becomes it in construct with O. And what is O again?
And that's the pronominal suffix, and it's masculine, like the, again, I'm guessing peri is masculine also.
Exactly.
The noun that it's referring to, so it'd be in its season.
Third masculine singular pronominal suffix. So he shall be as a tree transplanted by rivers or streams of water whose its fruit it customarily gives in its season. I've often thought about how in every season of life, as we're meditating in the Word of God, it produces fruit in our life. And it customarily happens. And I like to think that whatever age we are, that the Torah brings life to us. The Word of God brings life. And whatever season of life we're in, whether we're young, middle age, or later in life, the fruit bearing will always be there if we are meditating in the Word, spending our time in it. Now notice he goes on and says, "Alehu lo yabo." Who else, Ken, do you want to, who else is there that's had Hebrew before? I don't think Miss Cooper, you haven't had Hebrew, right? I don't think Miss Cooper has. I don't think Ben has. Do we have anyone else that's had Hebrew before? Jose's not on tonight, is he? I don't think. Ken, would you want to do it, or do you want to let me let Joel keep working on it?
Joel's been doing an excellent job. I'm not quite there yet, I don't think.
Okay, I'll let Joel.
I could maybe work through some of it, but.
Yeah, I'll let Joel continue to work then. And I don't think there's anyone else that I'm aware of
Except Marty, but we'll let him off since he's coordinating everything.
Yeah, we'll let Marty off the hook here. Okay.
So we're at Va'alehu. Is that correct?
Yeah, so let's go to the next. Va'alehu, could you pronounce that? Lo Yabul.
Oh, yeah. Lo Yabul.
Uh-huh. Lo Yabul. Va'alehu. Now, what about Va'alehu?
Okay, just by context, I know this noun, I wouldn't know it otherwise, but it's the conjunction and then, leaf. And is that that's who is the hay in the noun or is it in the pronominal suffix?
Well, what you have here is lay who at one time you had hay. And then you had another hey with a short. The final hey, ooh, or the final ooh, is showing a third masculine singular pronominal suffix. The hey elided or dropped out. And so we just have the shurik left. So it would be, and literally, his leaf or its leaf. And that who is just showing a third masculine singular pronoun suffix. So, and its leaf, lo yabul. Now, tell me about the bull. Lo means not ever. And what about yabul?
Oh, I'm guessing that's a cal imperfect third masculine singular because of the yod prefix. But I'm not sure if it's, is it a second or an ion yod verb? I mean, the verb looks different in form. It looks like it's a weird,
regular verb. It's another peinun verb. Navel,
oh, peinun, okay.
Means to wither, and that noon of the pei position has assimilated into the bait. So yin bo became yibbo, and that, what is that dogish in the bait called?
Dogish forte?
Dogish forte, meaning doubling. So if you were spelling it, would be Y-I-B-B-O-L. So its leaf does not ever wither, which is beautiful. It's like an evergreen tree whose leaf is always there. And then V'chol asher ya'aseh yatzlicha. And all which he does is caused to prosper. The whole, this would be a shava with the vav here, a conjunction and the whole means everything or all. A shed is a relative pronoun, all which. What about ya'aseh? What is ya'aseh?
Well, it's from the verb asah. And I think with people that are just learning Hebrew, I always, with vocabulary words, I always have to come up with a picture in my head to remember them. Like I think of asah. Doing something, like you have a saw in your hand and you're doing something.
Okay.
So, but I'm guessing, this is a little of a guess, like I said, 70% are cal. So, but I see there's an A-class verb after under the yod, so I'm not sure if that's because of the ion, because I know ions for A-class verbs, but I'm going to guess it's cal imperfect, third masculine singular.
It is a cal imperfect, third masculine singular. What has gone on here, because of the ayin, as you've said, you have a composite shava. That is, you have a pathak with the shava, and it's called a chatek pathak, a hurried pathak. And what happens here, the pathak, part of that, shifts under the yod. And so, in all which he does, and from asa, by the way, I saw at one time had a final yod form, asai, and that hey was added later, because this is what we call a lamed hey verb. And basically, the yod preferred the sigol, and that's why we have the sigol here. It would have been ya-si, something like that. But when it became hay, it kept the sigol. And so all which he does, yatzlicha. How would you parse yatzlicha?
We get to see another one of the binyan that you went over. This is the hifel, because the hirik yod is what tells me that.
Now notice the vowel pattern. Very good. Notice the vowel pattern. Apathak hirik yod. That goes with the hifil stem. And that final pathak under the chet is called a furtive pathak. It's there so you would be able to hear it. And so b'chol asher ya'aseh yatzlicha. In all which he does, it is cause to prosper. Basically we now have verse 3, that as we meditate in the Torah, we can become like a tree, transplanted by streams, ever-flowing streams of water, that water the roots of our soul, taking us from the aridness of this world and transforming us and translating us into the beautiful soil of God's word. And this is followed then by the result. We will then be, if we do that, our fruit will always be there in season, whenever, whatever age we are, wherever we are in life, and one's leaf will never ever wither, like an ever-blooming tree. And that's why it's so important to meditate in the Word of God, the Torah, day and night. So much of what we see is depressing in today's world, but to get into the Word of God brings life and brings fruitfulness. And all which he does results in prospering. So everything that we do as we meditate in the Word is spiritual prosperity. It doesn't mean we'll be successful as far as being necessarily rich or making a lot of money or prospering, but we'll prosper in our soul. And I think that's what he's saying. And so, what a beautiful, beautiful text. I have a statement here from Pirkei Avot, and it's in chapter 3 of that tractate, verse 22. In the Jewish response, it says, fortified in this manner, one may be buffeted by the troubles which overtake him, but he comes through them with unshaken resolve, like a firmly rooted tree. Even if all the winds of the world come and blow upon it, it cannot be stirred from its place. So what a beautiful statement that is made there. And that's why it's so important that we stay in the Word, right, and spend time in it. Now, I wanted to ask this. We've gone about an hour once we started. I wanted to try to hold to our time. And what we want to do next week is to continue in the grammar, review the Cal Perfect, review the imperfect, review the pronoun, and review the seven stems. And we look at the vowel patterns in particular in the perfect and the imperfect. Now, the other thing that I would like to mention, we'll come back and finish the psalm next week. And then Marty and I have talked about going maybe into Psalm 100. And after that, going into Psalms that he has not read and that probably you haven't either, Joel. And I don't think we did that in class, Ken. And we didn't do that, Joe, in Sunday school when we did it. And Miss Cooper, this is all brand new to you all, I'm thinking. So why don't we do this? Why don't we review the grammar for next time that we looked at, and then and try to read out loud, imitating my pronunciation, the first three verses of Psalm 1, and then try to memorize it, if you would like to memorize it, and then review everything we covered in the grammar. And if you'd like to use wine green, I think, Miss Cooper, you have wine green, I think you said, you can look at how he handles the perfect and the imperfect, and on page 100, he has the seven stems. He uses the verb shamar, the verb shavar, to break, and the verb, because he then has the meaning of intensity in the PL, which would be to crush. And then he uses the verb gadal to be great. So those are the three verbs he uses. Look at Marty's notes too on shamar, which is he is kept. And Marty gives a complete breakdown of the seven stems and how they would appear. And by using that, it's just a matter of time. The more we translate the